and welcome to another episode of the Cybersecurity for All podcast, a podcast all about cybersecurity from ApeTech. I'm your host, Alex, and today we're going to be taking a deep dive into your operating system's privacy. Piggybacking off my episode last week, I want to explore different popular operating systems consumers own and see which one protects your privacy the most. Maybe it is time for you to change up your computer. Before we jump into the episode, let me update you on a few things. We just crossed over 875 downloads. Thank you to everyone that has helped me crush my goal. It's not even the end of the month, and we're already well on our way to the next milestone of 1,000 downloads. I initially was estimating to be at 1,000 by the end of summer, but if we all pull together, I think we can get there by the end of May. So please feel free to share my podcast with your friends and family so they too can benefit from Cybersecurity for All. If you want to leave a message, there is a voicemail URL in the episode description that you can use to get a hold of me. Also, apetech.me/social is where you can find me and everything else I'm working on. I'm very active on Twitter, and you can find me there at apetechda. And if you enjoy cybersecurity content, but you feel like you want a little bit more, maybe in a different format, feel free to check me out on TikTok. Same handle, at apetechda. I post even more content about cybersecurity there that I think you might enjoy. This podcast is just one of many different side hustles that I'm working on. And definitely think you'll get some value by checking me out on Twitter or on TikTok. All right, enough of the updates. Let's get into the episode. Continuing with our theme of privacy, I wanted to take a deeper look at how our operating systems are protecting our privacy. I had heard a lot of things about Windows 10 spying on their users, and I kind of wanted to go check it out myself. For this episode, I'm going to be sticking to discussing to just computer operating systems. In the future episode, I'll be comparing iOS with Android. We spend a lot of time on our phones, and I think it's worth going deeper and discussing how our phones track our every move. The three main operating systems I'm going to be discussing today are Windows 10, macOS, and Ubuntu. The first two are pretty well known, but the third one is one of the more popular Linux distributions that most people use. Similar to my last episode, I'll be reviewing the privacy settings and policies that each operating system has. You might be surprised with what I find. I haven't done the research yet, so I'm expecting my research to confirm my suspicions. I predict that Windows 10 will be the worst operating system in terms of protecting your privacy. I predict that Ubuntu will be the one that protects your privacy the most. Let's see if I'm right. All right, let's jump into Windows 10. Let's start with the most popular operating system of them all. Okay, Windows 10 is just about everywhere. Unless you're a diehard Apple fanboy, fangirl, you're probably using Windows 10 for work. Most of Fortune 500 companies rely on Windows to conduct business. And because of that, Windows 10 is the most popular as far as the most install base, right? There's the most users. So Microsoft started doing a very interesting thing with Windows 10. If you have been around computers for a while, then you probably remember service packs. It would take years to develop an operating system, and every once in a while you'd download a massive update, or Microsoft would ship you a DVD, or you'd go to your local computer store and purchase or obtain one of these DVDs. These updates were far and few, and it was just not something that you were accustomed, right? Once you got your Windows operating system, it would be a while before you ever updated it. With Windows 10, Microsoft releases an update twice a year now, usually in the form of a spring and fall update. With each update, Microsoft revises their privacy policies and opts users back into configurations that they've changed before. Now, these are major updates that Microsoft releases. Every Tuesday, it's known as commonly known as Patch Tuesday, Microsoft is releasing new software updates. And you can, if you're a Windows 10 user, you've probably noticed that around once a week, your computer is going to say, I have updates ready to install. That's not really the point here, right? The point I was trying to make is more along the lines of the bigger, more specific, they get big major names updates, and those are usually those spring and fall ones. But yeah, what I'm talking about here also then is every time you do one of the major updates, Microsoft has a tendency of resetting your settings. Okay, so Windows 10 comes with an advertising ID. You can turn this off if you don't want to receive personal ads. And Microsoft says that these personal ads are usually things that you'll find like when you're browsing their Microsoft store, but I wouldn't be surprised if they work with other third parties to help track you while you're on using Windows 10. Windows 10 is also consistently sending data back to Microsoft so that they can improve the Windows experience. In my research, this is pretty common, right? Almost all the OSs, and I'll talk about them when I get to the other ones, but it's pretty much standard that every OS maker is tracking some sort of data to improve the experience. And if you're jumping in between multiple Windows 10 computers that you own, Microsoft has something called Activity History that allows you to switch between computers and pick up where you left off. A great convenience feature that comes with a significant cost to your privacy. I know that my son uses a Windows 10 machine that I built for him, or actually that he built himself with my assistance, but since they're tied to the same link, whenever I change my background on my computer, it changes the background on his computer too. So you can see that maybe I want things that I don't want my kids to have and Windows 10 because of this feature. And if you just don't know and you don't have a specific account for your kids, you're going to discover this really quickly. So if you have a laptop, you can bet that Microsoft's also tracking your location as well. Windows 10 has access to your camera and microphone. This means that Microsoft can potentially hear and see you. As you can see, Microsoft does a lot of tracking. And there is a privacy setting that allows you to toggle all these settings, but I've heard that Microsoft has the tendency of reverting these values back to their default opt-in values every time that you do an update. I personally haven't seen this. I also haven't really turned off all the privacy stuff, but as I was doing this research, I turned them off, and I'm going to be keeping an eye out for future updates. I really do want to see if Microsoft does indeed change your settings from, hey, I don't want you to spy on me to, oh man, you're spying me again. I thought I turned it off. So we'll keep an eye on this one and I'll report back. All right. So that's pretty much it with Windows. Let's switch over to Mac. All right. So Apple does things a little bit differently here. While Mac is tracking you a bit, right? Like Apple is still collecting data. It does so with a little bit more finesse. Location tracking is enabled on your Mac, but you have to allow apps to use data. And even within the Find My ecosystem, Apple claims that only you can see the location of your personal devices. This means that Apple and other third-party entities can't see your computer's location, or your devices for that matter. Similar to Windows, Apple does collect data to help improve the overall experience. And that's about it. Mac OS 10 is not, or 11 now, isn't trying to make money off of you. And Apple encourages you to use Safari since it will also work to protect your privacy. Apple has their voice assistant and they do not associate the request that you make or conduct through Siri with your identity. Every request is from a random identifier. Apple can't read your iMessages either. It's all encrypted. Apple's newest computers come with an onboard machine learning chip that also allows Apple to enhance the user experience without ever having to send data back up to Apple for processing. So it's all done locally on the device. In addition, Apple has what they call like a T2 chip that basically creates a secure enclave. So everything on your computer is just on that specific computer. Now, this is a gift and a curse, right? And this might be a little bit of a sidetrack and definitely not on topic, but Apple goes to great lengths to protect your privacy, but it also comes at a significant cost. If you're looking to upgrade, like if your phone breaks or something happens on your computer, because Apple creates this tight ecosystem of every component within your computer is authenticated and unique to your specific computer. But if something were to ever break and you try to go and get a third-party replacement and you don't pay the ridiculous fees that Apple charges to replace your components or you don't buy AppleCare, then the minute you install a third party component, as in something that's not licensed by Apple and or not installed by Apple, you start quickly running into problems and your computer almost becomes unusable because Apple can't verify the identity. Apple was experiencing this problem with phone screens, right? So the glass on your phones tend to break and they're all made out of glass. And so when people were going to these cheaper malls, to the mall to get like these cheaper replacements, they were finding out that their phone wasn't working anymore, right? Because like specifically like back when the fingerprint reader was on the when they switched over to having the fingerprint reader embedded onto the screen, it started breaking things because it couldn't authenticate the security that Apple built in. So Apple, again, does a great, it's great if you're constantly updating your Apple products, and it's great if your Apple products aren't failing. But the second something goes wrong, it's going to be expensive. So you are going to be paying a significant price for this privacy and security that you might just not get with other manufacturers. But overall, Apple does value your privacy a lot. And let's see how these two OSs stack up against the free version of Ubuntu. Well, against Ubuntu, which is free always. So let's jump into that one. All right, so let's talk about Ubuntu. If you're not familiar with Ubuntu, it's a popular Linux distribution. And if you're not familiar with Linux, it's basically a third flavor of an operating system. Most of the IT world actually runs on some sort of a Linux distribution. And many enterprises prefer it because it comes with it's a very secure operating system, Linux is at least. And Red Hat, which is probably the biggest manufacturer of enterprise level Linux distributions, offers great support. And it, overall, it's just like it's the platform that developers use to push major enterprise level applications. Now, Ubuntu is a very popular like developer's operating system where if you are building some sort of a Linux based or Unix based application, you're most likely doing it on Ubuntu. So maybe Ubuntu is not an operating system that normal people have in their home, but it is growing in popularity. And I personally have a couple of computers with Ubuntu because of its safety and reliability. So let's talk a little bit about Ubuntu. So similar to the other two, Ubuntu collects data from your computer to help improve the overall experience. Like the other two, you have the option to opt out. Ubuntu is transparent with what they're collecting, and nothing too personal is ever collected from you. And that's it. Like, that's literally it. Like, Apple, Canonical, the makers of Ubuntu, really do care about your privacy. They have Firefox built in to every distribution of Ubuntu. So if you remember from my last episode, Firefox and Safari were one of like the two safer, more private browsers, right? They're not in the business of trying to make money off of you. And Ubuntu, even though it's completely free, it's maintained through an open source community whose sole purpose is to just make and improve and create the best operating system possible without profits or any kind of financial gain. Now, it is really surprising, though, because Microsoft charges $100 for Windows, and it's interesting to see just how much Microsoft tracks you, considering how much you're paying for it. With Apple, it kind of makes sense, right? Because even though you're not specifically paying, although many years ago, Apple did used to charge you like $99, and then they went up to like $30 for operating system upgrades, but now they're free. But the problem is, Apple's operating systems only work on Apple computers, right? Well, I mean, technically they can work off of an Apple computer, but you'd be violating the end user's license agreement. But because Apple OSs only work on Apple computers and you're paying such a high premium for that hardware, Apple doesn't need to upsell it, right? Like, they don't need to make any additional money. Their profit margins are huge, and they're making a lot of money every time they're selling these computers, especially now that they switched over to their own custom silicon. These chips are costing them like less than $20 to make. Before, they used to have to license it out, right? They'd have to go to Intel, pay them the retail price of like $150, $200 or whatever it is for the chip, and then they can add it into the computer. But not because they don't have to pay that. They're just paying $25 to manufacture, and obviously their long-term payoff for the R&D is going to be a return on investment. But for now, to actually manufacture and what Apple's actually profiting off to sell these computers, especially since they didn't even change the prices on many of the computers, they're making a pretty penny, right? So because they make so much money off of this, like, they don't feel compelled to have to need to exploit users' data to make even more money, right? They depend on hardware sales to make money. They, unlike Microsoft doesn't, I mean, they have their Surface line, but let's be honest, who's buying Surface products, right? Not a lot of people. Microsoft relies on licensing for their operating system. So if they can only make so much money off of licensing, so they get creative with other ways. And selling data is a great way. I mean, Facebook's entire business model is selling your business data, and they're like the third most valuable company out there. So third or fourth, right? So clearly, there's an incentive to sell your data, unless you're like Apple, who makes a bazillion dollars just selling hardware that everybody goes gaga over and absolutely needs to buy. Anyways, a little bit off topic, but I just wanted to give that little rant. There you have it, your operating system 101 guide. Which operating system are you currently using? Are you thinking of making a switch based on the information presented? I know that I use all three operating systems, and I'm going to be reviewing my Windows 10 settings to make sure that Microsoft stays away from my private data. Well, that's it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you feel like you know someone who could benefit from listening to this episode, please feel free to share it with them. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to my podcast, and thank you for the support. I know I'm just getting started, but I'm excited to see where I take this podcast in the future. Thanks for being a part of this journey with me, and see you on the next one. Bye.